Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q1 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter results conference call. As always, we will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. I just want to mention that the quarter one numbers reported to stock exchanges are based on Indian accounting standards, the new accounting standard. In this call, we will discuss numbers based on the previous Indian GAAP. The unaudited financial statements file uploaded on our site for Q1 contains a reconciliation between Indian accounting standards versus previous Indian GAAP, the earlier accounting standard for Q1 this year and Q1 of last year. There is a slight change in the data sheet, which we uploaded on our site as well. You may please take the latest from the website. Moving on to the financial highlights of the quarter, for the standalone company, net sales in Q1 were rupees 201 crores versus rupees 172 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 17%. For Q1, operating EBITDA was at 56 crores versus 24 crores in Q1 of last year, an increase of 136% year-on-year, mainly on account of reduction in marketing expenses. Marketing costs dropped 44% from 46 crores in Q1 of last year to 26 crores in Q1 of this year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 28% versus 14% in Q1 of last year. Other income is at 22 crores versus 21 crores last year. This is on account of an increase in corpus, even though interest rates have declined. PAT was at 47 crores, up 65%, and operating PAT was at 32 crores, up 185% year-on-year. Operating PAT margin was 16% versus 7% in Q1 of last year. Deferred sales revenue for the company has increased to 220 crores as of June 30, 2016, versus rupees 206 crores as of March 31, 2016. The business sentiment continues to be stable. Moving on to the results for the recruitment vertical. Again, please note that all business-wise numbers that are being given out are management estimates and are not audited. In Q1, recruitment top line grew 17% to rupees 146 crores. EBITDA margins in Naukri were in recruitment were flat at 53%. In Naukri, EBITDA margin was at 56% versus 55% in Q1 of last year. In Naukri in Q1, we added an average of 14,600 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to about 47 million CVs. The number of CV modifications in Naukri averaged at 238,000 per day. The Naukri Job Seeker Index was at 2,129 in June versus 1,749 in June of 2015. In Q1, we serviced 37,000 unique customers versus 33,700 unique customers in Q1 of last year. Our new products like Referral Hiring Manager and the Career Site Manager continue to make good progress, and we have good feedback from our customers on these products. Our traffic share in Naukri has been hovering around the 74%-75% mark for the last few months now. Moving on to the 99acres business. Top line in 99acres is up 16% year-on-year to 29 crores in Q1. In Q1, 99acres made an EBITDA loss of about 16 crores, vis-à-vis 35 crores in Q1 of last year, and 11 crores versus Q4 of last year. We continue to invest aggressively in product and user experience, and even though competitive activity has declined, we continue to spend a little bit on mass media to build our brand. Our traffic share in the real estate vertical continues to be in the 40s, and this has been the case now for the last few months. We are hoping that we will continue to, as our investments, continued investments in user experience, marketing, and product will help us gain market traffic share over a period of time. The real estate market, on the other hand, continues to be very, very sluggish. Demand for new homes especially in markets like Noida, Gurgaon, Mumbai and Hyderabad, continue to be weak. Moving on to the matrimony vertical, Jeevan Sathi. Jeevan Sathi had a good quarter. Net sales grew 34% year-on-year in Q1 and reached 15 crores versus 11 crores in Q1 of last year. At the EBITDA level, we made a small profit of rupees 65 lakhs versus a loss of 3.5 crores in Q1 of last year. In Shiksha, Q1 sales grew by 4% and were at 11 crores. We made a slight loss of 70 lakhs at the EBITDA level. Moving on to the strategic investments piece. In Q1, we invested in two new ventures, rupees 3 crores in VCare and rupees 4 crores in Unnati Helpers. The gross amount invested in external ventures now stands at 809 crores as of 30th of June 2016. Some of the companies we have invested in may require more funding going forward, and we will continue to evaluate each on a case-to-case basis. I'll spend a little time now on the impact of Indian accounting standards on our financials. As mentioned, the unaudited financial statements filed for Q1 captures the reconciliation between Indian accounting standards versus previous Indian GAAP, and its details are provided in the financial statements of Q1 that are uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. At a very high level, there are two material changes in P&L from the Indian accounting standards perspective. One, certain products across different business lines were hitherto recognized as upfront revenue under the previous IGAAP. These are now being recognized over the term of the contract as per the new Indian accounting standards. And two, the fair market value of ESOPs are being charged off as non-cash charge to P&L. You may also refer to the revenue recognition rules which have been altered with effect from April 1, 2016 under the Indian accounting standards. Those prior to this date and in line with previous IGAAP are also on our website. That's all from us today. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. One is that, you know, the recruitment top line at 17% is on the lower side versus the last few quarter trends. And, you know, generally the commentary has been positive over the last few months. So just wanted to get a sense of why the slowdown and whether it is more of, you know, like for this quarter or something more to be looked into it. The second bit is on the impact of the new accounting standard. Hitesh, you mentioned the accounting for the top line as well as on the mutual fund. But I believe that the biggest impact would have been the employee cost. So any sense on that? And lastly, the impact of the IND standard seems to be a lot more on property, where if you see the reported top line growth on like-to-like basis on the new standard would just be like 3% versus 16%. So just wanted to get a sense of how should we look at it. Thank you.
Yeah, to answer your first question on growth in Naukri or in the recruitment vertical, see, more or less, we seem to be trending, you know, on the ground, there's no change in sentiment. The market seems to be stable. We saw slightly lower growth this quarter because the Naukri Gulf business has been impacted by a slowdown in the Gulf. So that's about 7-8% of our sales in total, and that business has been under stress for a couple of quarters now. In India, the market continues to be stable. However, there are early signs of, the IT market slowing down, but it's not impacted our revenue as yet. So hopefully revenues will continue to trend in line with what they have been like over the last few quarters going forward, but it's hard to say right now. As far as the impact, so, you know, what I said was that there is an impact on one top line because of the new accounting standard and also on ESOP, you know, not mutual funds. So ESOP is, I think, what you're referring to when you mean by employee costs. So yes, you know, employee costs will be impacted because ESOPs are being charged as a non-cash charge, which was not the case earlier.
So just to add, you know, Gaurav, you know, what Hitesh said, these are, you know, you are right, you know, ESOP charges and revenue, these are the two major significant impact that we have from the perspective of new Ind AS, and that's what, you know, referred to. And there is a detailed note that we have uploaded, which explains even the smaller items where we have the impact, and that also includes the mutual fund that you referred to. So I think that there is a detailed reconciliation and detailed impact and accounting treatment that we have given. Including the impact that would happen on the retained earnings. So since it's too much of details, I think it will be you know, better if you just refer to that. You will get a much better perspective of that. Coming back to your question about 99 acres, see, there's, you know, what has happened is that certain products which were earlier recognized as an upfront revenue are now getting recognized, you know, under the new revenue recognition norm. Over the period of the contract, you know. Now, different business have different products, and there's a different product mix that we have. So 99 acres had more products which were taken upfront revenue as compared to, let's say, Naukri or any other businesses, you know. So that's why there is a larger impact that you see in 99 acres. Again, if you really get granular, you'll realize that, you know, for this upfront revenue, whether a product was booked in April or whether it was product booked in June, now when it comes to deferral revenue, it has an impact. When it was an upfront revenue, probably didn't matter for the quarterly numbers, but as a deferral revenue, it makes an impact. So product makes the monthly pattern of how the product is being sold, everything has an impact, and that's why, you know, you see a larger impact in 99 acres.
Okay. Just one follow-up on Naukri, you know, on the IT segment, while, you know, the company generally focuses on the lateral hiring, so are you starting to see slowdown even in the lateral hiring?
No. See, what I mentioned to you is that, you know, anecdotally what we're beginning to hear is that markets like Bangalore, which actually grew much at a much higher rate than our sales growth of last year, you know, so if a business grew at 18-19%, markets like Bangalore grew at 25-26% last year, there could be some slowdown setting in there. And it's not partly because of IT and partly because the startup market is also seeing a slowdown. But this is anecdotal stuff. This is what we're hearing on the ground. This is yet to sort of make an impact on our revenue.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening. Firstly, you know, what could you share on Zomato's performance in the quarter and what's happening to the, you know, you were trying to break even in Zomato, so what's happening on that front? And any other developments in that business in this quarter?
Yeah, so in Zomato, you know, we don't disclose quarterly performance for competitive reasons, but having said that, what we had said at the beginning of the year is that the company is targeting, you know, high revenue growth again, you know, this financial year, and breaking even on a month-on-month basis, it will be cash positive at some time in this financial year. The company thus far is on target and on track to achieve both those. That is high revenue growth. You know, they have targeted doubling. We don't know exactly where they'll end up, but it'll be very high revenue growth. And also, breaking even, being cash positive at some point in time this financial year.
Right. And if you could share something on the new investments, Unnati and the other one, and what is the strategic rationale there?
So Unnati is, you know, a small company, a startup, very early stage, which is doing a pilot project in Gurgaon, and is basically using the mobile platform for, you know, hiring of urban blue-collar workers, right? Whether it is business establishments or, you know, security guards or, you know, retail salespeople or, you know, or even domestic help or drivers, right? It's still a pilot, very early. They're trying to get the model right, and that's the task. The milestone they have to achieve with this round of funding is get the model right and make it work in Gurgaon. Right? That's what Unnati is. Dairo is an app which is a kind of a phone book plus, you know, it's a phone book with many features, and it's yet to launch. I think it should be launching in the next few weeks, both on Android and iOS platforms.
Okay, and sorry, could you repeat the investments in each?
So 3 crores in VK and 4 crores in Unnati.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Matangi from IIFL. Please proceed.
Chintan, I have two questions for you. The first question is, this time around you gave us the walkthrough from the IGAAP to the Ind AS. Is this something that you plan to give for the quarters going forward till FY17 end? Because you said that the entire impact would only be visible when of the growth when FY18 starts. So my question is, do you plan to give this this walkthrough for the next 3 quarters also?
Yes, we would certainly like to give that because we understand that comparison under new Ind AS in some way is kind of distorted because of transition, and probably that will continue for 4 quarters. So we would prefer to give both so that there is full transparency, full clarity of you know how the numbers are moving under both accounting you know the accounting standards.
Yeah, and the second question is about the revenue impact of the transition to Ind AS. Now I'm finding it a little difficult to reconcile, though I went through the entire disclosures that. Last year, same quarter, which is 1Q FY16, because of the reclassification, you had 3 crores positive, and this time you have 4 crores negative. Now, how does the dynamics work that you had booked less upfront revenue than the trailing upfront revenue last year, and things changed this year? But how do I just look at this and get some insight into this?
You know, it's little harder because there would be impact coming from the earlier quarter, which is Q4 of the year before that, you know. And there would be a brought forward balances that would be there, you know. So it's, you know, and there are so many numerous contracts that it's hard, you know, to really tell you that what exactly and how exactly, you know, it gets, you know, worked out. But what essentially we have done is that from 1st April 2015, all the outstanding contract we recalculated, effect that it would have on all the outstanding contracts, and there is an impact on the opening balance and retained earning, and that has been given in the details in the statements that we have uploaded. And then we have an effect for the year between 15 to 16, and then now we have 16-17 for Q1. You know. So that's how it has been calculated. So there is a brought forward effect that comes from what the retained earning that we have reduced. So there is almost like a charge of close to 68 crore in the retained earning as on 1st April 2015. And that income, which we have kind of, you know, deferred by taking a charge on retained earning, keeps flowing through, trickling through, you know, over the quarters based on the tenure of the contract. Now, there could be contracts for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So it would depend, and again, depend on which month the contracts are booked, and accordingly, the revenue would flow.
Right.
So what we have given is a comparison and a reconciliation. But it's more of factual thing that why something was positive and why something was negative depend upon how many contracts we're getting, you know, where.
Right, got it. No, I get the gist of it. And just one final question about the newer products in the Naukri portfolio. It'll be great if you can give us some insight into the traction or the numbers or any qualitative insight into what's happening with the career site manager, the referral products, you enhance those products, and any insight you can give on the traction would be great.
Yeah, you see, the idea right now, you know, as far as these products go, is to penetrate the market, so, and to launch versions for different segments. So in the career, on the career site management side, on the career site manager product, we've got a basic version, and we also now have a pro version. And when I last checked, we had over 1,800 customers for this product. So the idea here is to penetrate the market and to get as many customers on board as possible and to launch variants for different sort of segments. On the referral hiring manager, the referral hiring manager portal also, the idea is again, you know, to get more and more customers on board and to continuously keep improving the product.
Okay, thanks. Great. All the best for the year ahead.
Hello.
The next question is from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please proceed.
Thank you. on the 99 acres again, now on the iGAAP basis, you're saying you grew, mid-teens. In there, you're saying you grew low single digit. Now, what we are interested more is the economic, the actual underlying on the ground economic growth that you're seeing, rather than, using one accounting versus the other. So what exactly is the underlying economic growth in your business for that vertical?
Yeah, see, the market continues to be very, very sluggish. I mean, home buying is not picking up anywhere. Yes, competition has gone down. So, the market scenario is very different from what it was like 1 year ago. Competition is not spending as much as they were earlier. So we also don't need to do, we are also sort of not as aggressive as we were at that point in time. But it's not as if new home sales are picking up. And yes, there's been some turnaround in markets like Delhi, NCR, which actually degrew for us last year. They have recovered in Q1. And after about four quarters, we're seeing positive growth in that market. But on the whole, the environment is still very bad. I mean, a lot of builders are going out of business. Collections are an issue. So new homes are in bad shape. The resale and rental part of the business is still okay and growing. What we've been seeing for the last 2-3 quarters, I mean, forget the accounting standards, is sales growth in the area of about 10-12%. And we are working on how to sort of improve this. And our share is improving, but revenue is not growing as expected.
Okay. And sequentially, the burn seems to have increased. So was there more competitive activity, or you were just more proactive without higher competitive activity in this quarter versus the last year?
So one is, of course, in Q1, we have our increment cycle. So we give people salary increases. So that impacts. So costs go up a little in Q1. And two, seasonally also Q1 is sort of a smaller quarter than Q4. So hopefully, things will get better going forward from a revenue standpoint.
Okay. And all right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one. We would like to remind our participants that you may press star and one if you have any questions. The next question is from the line of Rohit Garg from Infina Finance. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I wanted to check the impact on Naukri from, say, startups like Hiree, for example, which are the new, trying to disrupt the Naukri model, I mean, what they claim to do. If you can throw some light, essentially, are you seeing any difference in a market like Bangalore, where, say, they claim they have, say, 4-5 lakh resumes and doing some traction, or is it, not a notable piece?
Well, there was some competitive activity last year from a lot of startups, Some companies got funded and for a while they spent money and they got some revenue. But frankly, it's not really impacted our revenue. And actually, we've seen many of these wither away over time. So to answer your question, really no impact as far as our business is concerned.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please proceed.
Yeah, my question is related to some of the startups in the real estate tech sectors. These startups like No Broker, GrabHouse.com, which are smaller definitely and have a much lower funding compared to 99 acres. But do you see any merit in their business model where they are trying to do a no broker and given the potential of the market? So this is the first question.
So, 99 acres operates in different segments. So we have we have a lot of our business coming from new home sales. Then we operate in the resale segment. We also have a rental segment. So our view is that it's very hard to sell a home in India without having a broker in between. So as far as the sale part of the business goes, retail and new home sales, that we think brokers are either a builder needs to have his own sales team to sell, or we need a channel partner or a broker in between to make a transaction happen. There's so much paperwork involved, so much negotiation which goes into closing the deal. It's very hard to do a sale transaction without a broker. As far as renters go, yes, there is an opportunity to sort of eliminate brokers. Many rental transactions happen without brokers being involved. But, you know, on our platform also, an owner can list a property for free. They right. don't really have to pay for to list on our platform. So these models, to my mind, are subsets of what we do. And it's going to be difficult for them to survive and sustain in the long run.
So scalability can be a challenge for them as well.
Absolutely. And they will need to find other revenue streams. So, you know, if you're going to be a no-broker platform and you're going to be free, then you have to figure out a way to monetize.
Right. Thanks, Itish. Itish, also, can you give a little sense on, the potential size of a market of a new home classified advertisement just rough idea, how much is it available with right now online real estate players and how much is it print or other media?
So, you know, the new home market actually, compared to its peak is probably down, depending on which numbers you believe, between 50% to 75%, right?
No numbers, so any number if you can throw in.
There were reports some time back that the new home advertising market in India is a few thousand crores. Some people put it at 4,000 crores, some people put it at 5,000 crores. But that market has, the spend on in this segment has declined substantially over time. And a lot of the ads you see in newspapers are actually ads which are placed, these are partner transactions. So, you know, people get paid for advertising through either equity or houses and so on. But our sense is still, you know, despite all this, this market is at least maybe 2,000-3,000 crores. You know, today there are at least a few thousand builders out there who need to sell projects. Yes, many of them are not selling, and new launch activity has gone down. But still, we believe that a couple of thousand crores is being spent in this market. A substantial chunk of that is now spent online, but maybe about 20-25% is being spent online. But a large part of what is being spent online is also spent on sites like Google and Facebook. So not all of it comes to portals. Right, the portals between them maybe make about 150-200 crores from this segment today. So there's substantial opportunity to sort of increase our share, but the market as a whole will take some time to come back.
Any particular reason why they is taking so much time for shift? And I have no idea. If you have some idea about it, like how the global market has worked, in this space.
So the new home market is actually unique to emerging countries because in developed countries, most people already own a home and most houses already built and people sort of, so the resale market is the one which is really, really big. While in markets like India and China and a few other emerging countries, the new home market is fairly substantial. New homes tend to be cheaper and more affordable than old homes. However, what has happened in India is that because of the poor track record of developers, this market has taken a big beating. Right, that in the confidence levels of people in this market have gone down, and because real estate is in a slump, even investors have sort of fled the scene. Right, so this market is a little sort of unique to emerging markets like India and China and Pakistan and so on, and therefore the platform required is a little different from what you have for resale and rental. So we've been working very hard on this platform. And, our product offering is getting better. We are seeing more traction. We have more and more consumers researching new homes on our site. But because the builders are in very bad shape and because builders haven't really got their act together in terms of marketing, they're still figuring out how to sort of tap this medium. It's taking time for them to move their spends online.
Okay, and the last thing, if you can give just a rough estimate at what portion of our 99 acres revenue is contributed by a new home market, and how is it growing?
So I suspect that, about 60% of our revenue, or 60 to 65, would be from new homes, or either directly from builders or from channel partners who work with builders. And this part of the business has been under pressure. You know, so it's been sort of flattish.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum Broking. Please proceed.
Hi. My first question is on Jeevan Sathi. Now, for a couple of quarters, we have seen very strong growth in Jeevan Sathi. Do you think we have figured the business model now and we can invest more money in this vertical?
You know, we are confident. so we are getting more confident with time, you know, but it's only been a couple of quarters. Jeevan Sathi, I think, made a small profit at the EBITDA level after many years. You know, we are very happy with the growth in numbers. You know, our revenue growth is up. Our revenue is up 35%. All the metrics are also looking very healthy. You know, so let us execute for a couple of quarters before we sort of start getting very bullish or aggressive on this business.
Sure. And in a data sheet from last quarter, we have stopped sharing some data points on Jeevan Sathi. So can we continue that, or it's competitive?
Yeah, you know, so we sort of stopped sharing because for competitive reasons, because like we've sort of been saying, we are tinkering around with a few things. And, you know, we're experimenting a lot, and that could mean something changing on our platform. So for competitive reasons, we don't want to reveal what we're doing, and therefore we've withdrawn whatever we were saying or sharing earlier.
Sure. My second question is regarding our A&P spends. Do you think these A&P spends are sustainable for next three quarters, given that we have also launched a new ad campaign for Naukri during the quarter?
So, you know, Naukri does not really depend on advertising for sales growth. So, you know, and if we don't expect Naukri ad spends to go up too much this year. You know, there may be an increase of 10-15%, but that's about it. Naukri is not really banking on advertising to push sales. As far as 99acres goes, you know, a lot will depend on competitive intensity. Yes, we've got ad spend, and it's unlikely that our ad spend will go up too much from here on, unless, of course, competition starts spending a lot more on advertising. In Jeevan Sathi also, you know, our ad spend continues to be reasonable. It's not growing over last, I mean, Q1 was actually lower than last year. But we don't expect it to grow at a rapid rate going forward.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Now, Sanjeev, I just wanted to check on Zomato. Now, you know, we have seen that with the tougher environment for operating environment for companies, you know, some of the investors have started to take markdowns in their perceived value of the investee companies. So I just wanted to understand what is the how does it work, and you know, does it happen on a quarterly basis, yearly basis, from InfoEdge's perspective?
Well, I mean, any markdown or markup or whatever will happen the next time the company raises money, or if it lists before that, right? Otherwise, there is no need to mark or markdown. We always value our investment cost. Since the time the last round happened, the company has more than doubled its monthly revenue. Its trajectory is headed north at a very rapid pace. It's cut down the burn by 70% from its peak. To my mind, the company is in far, far, far better shape than it was when it raised last round. So, you know, as far as we are concerned, we have always valued all our investments in our books at cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Mehta from Nomura. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, I had a question on what are you seeing from LinkedIn on the ground? It seems they grew advertising at almost 18% in March. They seem to have launched a LinkedIn placements in November last year, so they seem to be indicating traction there. And any moves that you've seen on the talent solutions business, which has had some impact on us?
Not really. Actually, you know, as we all know, LinkedIn sort of was in the news recently for having sold their business to Microsoft. So we are waiting and watching and to see what their new strategy is going to be. We don't know how sort of Microsoft is planning to integrate LinkedIn with their other offerings. Hopefully, you know, LinkedIn, because it is maybe 1-2% of, hopefully because India is 1-2% of LinkedIn revenue globally, you know, it's not going to be a focus market for them. As far as their new launches and new products go, I'm sure they're being rolled out in India also as we speak, but they've not really impacted our businesses yet.
Hitesh, but LinkedIn seemed to have indicated that India is their second largest market after US, with almost 35 million users. And in terms of the current biggest focus area seems to be on advertising. Do we compete with them on advertising, or that's a business that's not a big focus for us?
You know, in the internet space, India is always a top three market for every country from a consumer standpoint and from a user standpoint, but maybe in the bottom three for every company from a revenue standpoint, because the ARPUs of Indian users are very, very low. So you know, I would take that with a, so yes, from a user standpoint, you know, India may be very big for LinkedIn, but not from a revenue standpoint.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Yeah.
And all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks. Just wanted to clarify on Naukri is, or I guess overall business, the deferred sales, is there a significant difference on a YOY basis on the growth rate on that? Adjusted for the Ind AS related changes that we have for this quarter versus the year ago period?
So
while we know, try to get the actual number for you, but theoretically speaking, yes, because ultimately it's deferral revenue plus revenue makes the total booking for us. So if revenues have not grown so much but booking was still there, deferral revenue would have gone up.
Yeah, the sense I wanted to get is there a the trend growth, is it similar to what we can see on a reported basis, which is around 17%? Is that what we can assume is what you have adjusted for the changes also? That's one question. And while you maybe look for that, the other question I had was if Hitesh could share what the growth rates across major cities were for the recruitment business.
Okay, so deferred sales, you know, just to answer your question, were 187.6 crores last year as on June 30th, 2015, and are now at 220.2 crores.
These are both on the same accounting standard, either India's.
Yes, this is Indian GAAP. This is as per Indian GAAP, as per what we were following till now, not as per the new accounting standard.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. The other question was the growth rates you're seeing across the major cities or geographies in Naukri.
In Naukri. So, you know, in Naukri, what we've seen for the last 4 or 5 quarters is that the southern markets did better than the north and west. You know, southern markets are primarily IT markets. So, Bangalore, markets like Bangalore and Hyderabad saw around 25% growth, while nationally we grew at about 17-18%. Let's see how this pans out going forward.
So it's been a 5% slowdown in Bangalore and Hyderabad versus the 30% you were seeing earlier.
No. I'm saying for the year as a whole, for last year as a whole, the markets like Bangalore and Hyderabad did about 25-26% growth.
Okay. Right? And in the quarter?
And for while Naukri as a whole did about 18%, right? So the non-IT markets actually grew at 15-17%, right? Let's see what happens going forward.
But that was for last year, right?
That was for last year.
For this quarter, do you perceive a significant difference in the growth rates?
So I don't have the numbers with me right now, but I don't think this quarter would be very different from the last 3 or 4 quarters. But yes, what I can tell you is that on the ground there is a slight slowdown in Bangalore, thanks to and what people are saying is this is because of startup equity slowing down to some extent.
But just on that point, I know you mentioned this earlier also. Does startup activity have a significant impact on your business? Just looking at the sheer numbers, is it a tiny percentage of the overall market?
Yeah, so we don't make a lot of revenue from startups, but what happens when there is a lot of startup activity is attrition rates go up across companies. So, if attrition rates go up, we make more money for every company.
Right, and you perceive that attrition rates are falling. That's what might be slowing the...
Could be. But it's very early. It's just been 1 quarter. And this, what I'm telling you is, anecdotal stuff. I mean, it's not impacted on numbers yet.
Okay, so your subscriptions have not been impacted by this as yet?
Not substantially. I mean, okay. Not enough for us to say that, listen, Bangalore is slowing down or Hyderabad is slowing down.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, thanks again. Just a question on Jeevansathi from Hitesh. So Hitesh, I understand that you are seeing increasing traction in Jeevansathi and we are growing also. So let's assume 2-3 years down the line, even if we, let's say, maybe double or more than our revenue, but still it's a distant third player in an internet market where we believe, like, you know, one player, you know, or winner takes it all. And so what would the strategy going forward? Will it be a core business? What will we be looking for an exit? And will an exit be possible given even the leader is struggling with an exit kind of thing, or, you know, raising fund kind of thing?
So, you know, you're right that internet market are winner take all markets, but you see the marriage market in India is not one market. Marriages often happen, most arranged marriages happen within the same religion. Often they happen, mostly they happen within the same community, and often they happen within the same caste. So Jeevansathi has always been a strong player in the north. We actually do almost zero business in the south. So most of our revenue comes from the north and west. And you know, while we are a number three player nationally, we believe that we may be actually a number two player in the north and west, or at least in the north, in the Hindi belt. And that is one reason why, you know, even on a revenue of 15 crores a quarter, we are actually breaking even and making a small profit. Right? Going forward, a lot will depend on how we run our business and how our competitors run their business. For example, in Jeevansathi, we have, less than 400 people. And therefore, if we are able to grow our business without growing our headcount too much, going forward, if we are able to become a dominant player in the north, you may see a very healthy EBITDAs. On the other hand, if we are not able to dominate the north, if, you know, our revenue is dispersed and scattered and comes from various communities, different communities, then, you know, and if our headcount also goes through the roof in trying to sort of achieve these goals, then margins may not be healthy. So you're right, it's about dominance. And, you know, our strategy has been for a while to try and dominate in the north. And while nationally we're number three, we believe that we're number two in the north.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Garima Mishra from Kotak Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had a question on the 99acres business. Now, the number of paid transactions which you disclose actually reduced from a run rate of 22,000-23,000 in the past two quarters to about 15,000 this quarter. Although the revenue growth, at least as far as the older accounting standards are concerned, was still pretty decent. So could you just explain why this was the case?
So in general, you know, from a strategy perspective, in 99acres, we are now focusing more on the larger customers. Okay, it's also a market where, several brokers are going out of business. The small customers are finding very hard to make revenue. So as a strategy, we've also decided to focus on our bigger customers and not go after every small broker in town. So what may be playing out is that, but, you know, on the exact numbers, sort of, we'll get back to you. Just one second. Okay. Yeah. So compared to June 15, you know, so in June 15 we had 17,618 transactions, and this year we had 15,000. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's right.
So one, you know, these are paid transactions. These don't necessarily mean that we are dealing with fewer customers, because, you know, so this is at a transaction level. But in general, what I can tell you is that we are focusing on the head. We are not focusing on the long tail anymore in the real estate business.
Okay, and this would be true for
so
most
focus
of
on increasing billing per customer and not increasing the number of customers necessarily.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rohit Garg from Infina Finance. Please proceed.
Yeah, I just want to note that reduction in marketing cost which you mentioned. Can you just elaborate that segment-wise? What has been the reduction or increase essentially in Naukri and 99acres and others?
Yeah, so most of the reduction has been in 99acres. We saw a lot of competitive activity last year thanks to companies like Housing and Common Floor, Now this year we are seeing a lot less competitive activity, so we've also cut down our marketing spend. So just to give you a sense, you know, I think our marketing spend 9 acres is down from 30 crores in Q1 of last year, or to maybe 10 to 11 crores this year, right? So it's down substantially compared to last year. In Jeevan Sathi also it's gone down slightly. I don't think there's been any sort of reduction in the marketing spend in Naukri.
Okay, understood.
So these marketing numbers could be a little bit here and there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just saying off the end. So.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Bembalkar from LIC Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to get some color on this 99acres business. So just wanted to understand, is there any change in the terms of our business or kind of duration of the contract which we are seeing or any working capital intensity which has changed in last 3 to 6 months?
Not really, but you know what we've what we are seeing now is a slight shift in the product mix. So, for example, you know, we were selling a lot of emailing solutions earlier. You know, we've launched a couple of new products which were not there earlier. So the mix may have changed a little bit, but not nothing major has changed otherwise.
Okay, so most of our revenues are still...
Depending on what we sell, you know, we either recognize, in some cases we recognize more revenue upfront, in some cases we defer more revenue. So that mix may have changed a little bit, given some new products and given our, you know, focus. But otherwise, the terms of trade have not really changed.
Members of management, it seems that the line for the questioner has disconnected. A reminder to the participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one at this time. As there are no questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Oberoi for closing comments. Over to you.
Well, thank you all for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of InfoEdge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.